I guess we'll start, you know, with your name and, you know, what sort of duties you had with the game.
Sure. So I'm David Anfossi. I'm the producer of Deus Ex, Human Revolution. I'm the daddy, I would say, you know, I was the first on the place. So my job is just to support the team, give them all the support they need to produce the right game, you know. So it's about budget planning, build the team also, and give them all the support they need. So at the end, I'm responsible for the quality of the game.
Okay. I guess you were the first person in place on the team. What exactly, when you started building the concept for the game, you know, what did you have in mind? What were you aiming at? And, you know, what was your ultimate goal when you said, okay, I want to build this game, I'm going to put a team together, and this is what we want to build?
Yeah, the first action I took was to create a creative team. So we were 5-6, if I remember correctly, beginning of 2007. And the first thing we did is that our mandate was to revive the franchise. Mm-hmm. So we just replayed the first two games for 1 month, you know, to just understand the universe and absorb a maximum of information and try to understand what made this game
unique. What exactly made
them
so classic.
Exactly. So we did that before even start the conception. And after that, it was clear for us that the first game was the main reference, sorry. And we wanted to make sure that we respect the franchise at the end, even if we don't please the mass market. It was clear that the mandate was to revive the franchise with all respect. So we defined the main pillars of the game, the combat, stealth, hacking, and social, and we based the entire conception on that.
Okay. And then, so when you were playing the first two, you know, was there something, I mean, I know the second one has gotten all the flack for being, you know, dumbed down or for universal ammo.
Yeah.
Were there any concepts from the second game that you felt like were good that, you know, you said, okay, well, let's try to incorporate, you know,
personally,
you see
I prefer the story of the second one, to be honest, and I think that the choices and consequences aspect is main control, is a more control into the second one than the first one. In the sense that it's more coherent into the second one than the first one. It's more, you have this kind of choices and consequences until the end of the game.
Yes.
Compared to the first Deus Ex, where at some point, you know, you lose a little bit this kind of system, you know.
See, I played the first one more recently. I didn't finish it until February of this year for the first time. So I played that one and the second one. And to me, I said, okay, I can see why the first one is recognized as this classic. But the choices all seem to be jammed right at the very end. And, you know, you have your choice in gameplay. But in terms of, I mean, even in what little I've played of the game already, it seems as though choice is all over the place in terms of the dialogue and, you know, how you approach it. It almost seems like you've perfected that formula.
Exactly.
I guess you said you thought about the art design. What did you come up with when you came up with the sort of cyber renaissance theme?
It was during the conception. At some point, we decided that the game will be set up in 2027, because it was a very important period in the Deus Ex universe, the transition. You know, when we perfectly understood the human body. Now we want to push the envelope with the mechanical augmentation. So we decided to use this period of time. So we just did some research about this kind of period in our history. And the Renaissance is a perfect analogy with 2027 in the sense that at the Renaissance we started to understand to the human body, you know, with anatomy, autopsia, sorry, and everything. And we did the analogy with this transition. It was as important as what we wanted to do in 2027 for this game. So the black and gold is from that, you know. The black represent the cyberpunk aspect of the game. People into the shadow, you know, the end of the world and blah, blah, blah. Very cyberpunk themes. And the gold is from the Renaissance. Because at this time, the lighting was about candles. It was a lot of hope. It was a gold era, during the Renaissance, so we use the gold to against the black into the game to support that. So it was just an analogy.
See, I think it plays out very well too, because the game has a really strong aesthetic. I mean, any given picture of the game, you know exactly what it is, and I think that in itself is an achievement, that it has such a visual identity.
It's unique.
When you built the design of everything, and like when you considered the story, was there anything you said, okay, we want to have it lead into the first game like this? You know, I imagine, you know, there's probably a little bit of space between the two, you know, but the game doesn't end and say, oh, here's the beginning of the original game. I guess my question...
No, we build a different story, in fact. To be honest, it's a total different story with new characters and everything. At some point during the writing, we had some opportunities to create some links with the first one.
But nothing strictly saying
yeah.
It's going to flow into that narrative.
Exactly.
Okay, I see. And then were there, like, the overarching concepts, though, you tried to keep them the same? Like, in the original game, there's that J.C. Denton is the first person, you know, the first or the first or second person with nanotech augmentations. Is there anything about that in this one where there's the difference between the mechanical augmentations and then, you know, that fear that people with mechanical augmentations will become out of date and then their, you know, their hardware will become old? That was a big conflict in the original. Is there any, you know, hint of that in this one? Or
no, it's more about the dystopia into the game, in the sense that different companies fight, you know, to have the control on this business. So it's about control, you know, and the point is that some people can afford this mechanical augmentation, some people cannot. So we have to, you have this kind of conflict between different classes, social classes, and you can feel that all along the game with the riots and everything, because that's the mechanical augmentations are something great, you know, because you can improve your capacities and everything. And but you cannot afford them, you know. So
it sort of takes the existing social tensions we have and then exacerbates them by having
exactly.
Suddenly there is not just a financial or a social distinction between these people, but an actual physical different differentiation.
Exactly. And is it a good thing or not? It's not black and white into the game. You will see that we give you a lot of information about this this philosophy, the transhumanism. And why people want to control that, and why people are against that, but it's not black and white, and you will give you different information about that, and at the end you will have to take a decision about that.
Decide what you think of it. Okay. One other question I had was, when you designed the game, did you have any other influences, you think, like, that weren't Deus Ex, but were maybe sci-fi, like, you know, a movie
a book? Ghost in the Shell and Blade Runner were very important for us in terms of visual, in terms of ambient mood. So we used them, you know, for example, from Blade Runner, you know, the cluttering. When you enter in a room, you have a lot of different objects everywhere and everything. It's from
all the clutter and
yeah.
See, that was actually something I noticed too. I said, "Wow, this reminds me of Blade Runner." You know, everything is just so jammed together, and there's just stuff everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah.
And even in the little bit I was playing, you know, I walk into a room and there's paper all over the place, bottles everywhere, boxes, and
a lot of details and information. Yeah, the fog and the smoke mm-hmm. from Blade Runner also. You know, you always have smoke, and fog everywhere.
So that was another thing I noticed too. Another thing I was noticing was
references. We also have about the transhumanism. We read a lot of books, like from Ray Kurzweil. I forgot his name. Garneau, Werner Vinge. Different kind of people that treat this.
That have sort of discussed where we could be going with that.
For us, yeah.
So there was a lot of basis in reality for these concepts that you just sort of extrapolated on them and carried them forward.
Yeah, and we worked with an expert on that, Will Rossellini. He created his company called Micro Transponder, Silicon Valley. And he's about to create augmentations at this moment, you know.
Wow.
for people, for the army and everything, and he wrote all the technical description for all augmentations into the game, you know, to make them credible. And he showed us what he's doing, and we are not that far.
That's impressive. See, yeah. Because even now, I was reading on the flight over here about the Olympiad runner.
Yeah.
Who they wouldn't let him compete at first because they said, well, you know, numerically he has a 30% efficiency advantage, and I said that's amazing that they can, A, determine that, and B, that he's running almost better than the people who are there now, and I, you know, it makes you wonder where it's going to go, and it seems like this is, you know, the new game is going to really address that.
Yeah.
Okay. I have one other question. I apologize.
Sorry. No, it's okay. We
have time. I promised I would ask a certain question.
The RPG aspect?
Here we go. The original game had sort of a dice roll aspect to it. You know, if you shot somebody, even if you shot them in the head, if your skill was low, it wouldn't hurt them. Mm-hmm. And it looks like in the new one, it's more of a, almost like a, it feels more like a first-person shooter with the RPG elements, you know, augmenting your capacity, but not numerically determining. Were there any kinds of shooters or other games that you know had as an influence or a reference point when you built the shooting?
In terms of shooting, no. To be honest, no main reference about that. What we wanted, as you mentioned, we wanted to make sure that the player will be able to use his full capacity. You know, if you are good at shooting, you will be good. We won't penalize you. But with the upgrades and blah blah blah, you will be able to improve your skills, not impact your capacity. So it was very important for us to design the game like that. After that, for the cover system, our main reference was Rainbow Six. For the stealth, I would say that we are close to a Metal Gear Solid.
See, that was definitely the vibe I was getting from it, and it's so fluid too. The way you can easily slide from one piece of cover to another, because that's something a lot of even full on dedicated stealth games don't get right. Well, you can hide when you're in that corner, but then that guy is going to see you when you try to slip around, just when you pop up for long enough. So to see it addressed so elegantly is impressive, considering it's only 1/4 of the main pillars of the game.
Yeah. But it was main of it was a main pillar, so we took a lot of time to nail it and to polish it and everything. But no choice, you know, because even if it's a Deus Ex with different mechanics, you have to be good for all of them.
Absolutely.
If you don't do that, you won't please the stealthy kind of gamer.
And I think you can argue too that in a way the first game was classic in its own right, but now it's, you know, parts of it haven't aged as well. The stealth aspect in the first game is there, but
it's not clear.
It's, you know, the hiding in shadow. You know, the stealth is basically stand far enough away so the people who can see this far can't see you.
Yeah.
So it almost seems like, you know, you've just taken these aspects and really just honed them to the razor's edge. And that's the vibe I'm getting, is that everything feels so much more viable.
Cool. Thank you.
Well, I think that's all I have for now. But
so you played a little bit, or?
I've played for about an hour now, and I found that just in the first game I felt like, because I played it strictly non-lethal, I didn't want to kill anybody, and I played stealthy, but the stealth wasn't really viable because you could sneak around to a point, but then the moment you shoot one guy, everyone in the building knows you're there. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to play it and feel like the way I play the game is now suddenly not only viable, but rewarding.
It was the beginning of the game?
We played Hengxia Court Gardens, and then Into the Hive.
Okay.
And it felt like, you know, there were moments where I felt just by paying attention in the world and by seeing all the detail, I was able to play the game, because I'm walking down the street, and I heard two people talking, and they said, oh, there's the secret entrance into the Hive in the back, and he won't tell us where it is. I said, oh, I'm going to go look around back there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I lost the, I couldn't get in from the front, so there I go, sneaking in the back.
Yeah.
I said, wow, this is, you know, everything has been so fleshed out now. It's almost like, you know, the vision that the first game had brought to life.
Cool. It was the purpose, you know, to let the player play the game how he wants to play the game, you know. Very important.
And to make it all viable, because you know, there's just so much more to it. You know, people's expectations are obviously a lot higher, too. And, you know, for this one, there's just, there's all that weight of people's nostalgia sometimes, I don't think, adds up to the reality of what they played. So it's nice to see that this is, I think this is going to really satisfy people who've played the original.
We'll see.
Find out. Well, I think I'll let someone else get some time because I don't want to.
Perfect.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
It was great talking to you.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
You too.